Hey, listen up.
Yeah, we here and we locked in. Let's keep it going all the way to the top 10. We fear the turtle, so it's no other option. Fred and Ryan, just watch them. Let's take it to the max.
It's the Shell and Tell.
They come with all the facts.
It's the Shell and Tell.
Let's take it to the max.
It's the Shell and Tell.
They come with all the facts.
It's the Shell and Tell.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Shell and Tell. It's been far too long since we heated up the mics. Your boys will be back with a normal show, especially as this 2023 gridiron season approaches. We have to get to our position breakdowns, our predictions, the schedule, all the cool things we do every summer. So we got to heat it back up. It's been mostly your boys' fault. Life's been hectic. Mostly good, some bad. You know, life happens. It's the way of the world. But we had to heat the mics back up with a special request from a player. Mr. Anthony Pecorella hit up the program. He has recently joined the transfer portal, as is the way of college sports now, but he has been a long-time Terp. He will be graduating this spring from the University of Maryland. Once a Terp, always a Terp. And wanted to reach out to the fans, and he thought, since he's already been on the show, what a better way than to come and talk with the Shell and Tell boys and reach out and express a gratitude for you true fans, the ones that are living and breathing football. Where else can you talk to them? So here we are. I hope you enjoy this interview as much as I did participating in it. All right, well, we are here with former Maryland Terrapin and former Shell and Tell guest Anthony Pecorella. Wants to come back on here and touch base with the fans one last time after two successful years, man. I mean, two bowl wins since we last talked.
Yeah, Maryland's definitely on the rise the last 2 years, and I'm excited to see what they got in store the next couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, we've always been a fan of yours social media wise. You've always been the loud front center of everything. It was amazing to me the number of times that you were standing right next to Loxley in every publicated photo. I think you might have been attached at the hip. I don't know if that was your doing or his, but you always managed to find the camera, Anthony.
Maybe that's just the New Yorker in me. Who knows?
Is that, or was there some kind of strategy involved?
If you ask my roommates, I definitely planned that.
Yeah, that sounds right to me too. We were actually at the Ravens Stadium, myself and Fred, the day that they announced your scholarship, and Mike Loxley, I believe, trolled you. I think there was a reason that you were second.
He loves getting that last laugh.
Oh, you run us through that experience when you were finally announced to be on scholarship there with the Terps.
So my freshman year, we went COVID. Second year, we didn't go because of COVID. Then my junior, we went. And every year, we went to a game. A walk-on got put on scholarship. So, I mean, I was kind of like, me and Colton. And Colton and I had started for 3 years, just pretty much waiting our turn. And obviously, we felt that we were deserving of one. So when that day showed up, we were kind of like, maybe not. And obviously, there was other guys that were deserving as well, but you just kind of threw your name in the hat and were like, oh, like, what if? So they brought us out the start of the third quarter, but they brought us down from our seats around like halftime. And we're walking down the ramp and you're walking through the tunnel and then you're standing there. And so you're seeing guys like Chig Okonkwo, because they played the Titans that day. Chig Okonkwo came off the field. Sam Okuano came off the field. Chance Campbell, a former Terp, walk off the field. So it was cool just to see guys you play with. Because I think that's one of the cooler parts about playing college football is, like, for the next, 10, 15, 20 years now, I'll know somebody that's playing on Sundays, and that's sick. But
yeah, whether you played with them or against them, you turn on a game, you're probably seeing somebody you played with or against.
Staying on task. So then we go out in the field, and I actually got a text from Dino Tomlin, another former Terrapin, and he goes, when you get this, don't cry. And he didn't know. He had no idea. He was just going out on a whim, just like just like I was, just thinking like, all right, this has to be the day. But he said, yeah. When you get the scholarship, don't cry. And I told myself if and when I did have that moment, I wasn't going to cry. And I actually didn't. So when he announced that, Colton got it. And Colton's one of the hardest, if not the hardest working person in that building. So I was more than happy. Just congratulations. So you're kind of like, it's kind of like you're at the Grammys. You're a finalist, right? You don't win the award. Yep. You're just like, congratulations. Be like, And then he goes, well, and I knew he was going to do it. I knew he was going to do it that way because he always loved, if I was doing well in practice, he would toy with Colton. If Colton was doing practice, he'd toy with me. Just that was always his thing because he had us since our freshman year, right? So he's seen us grow into men from young boys. So he had to get one last laugh before he handed that scholarship over. And it was all great. I didn't cry. Everyone mauled, Colton and I. We were all excited. Now we're walking back in the tunnel. And so the game was only broadcasted around here. And they made an announcement on the broadcast that they had scholarship the punters and blah, blah, blah. So I have to call my parents and tell them, I'm on scholarship now. So I called them. Actually, I FaceTimed them. They're like, what's up? Thinking I was in trouble or something because I'm calling from the Ravens games. They're like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
And I said, they just put me on scholarship. And it was my dad, my mom, and my sister, and they all went nuts. And then that's when I lost it. So technically, I didn't lose it. When I got the scholarship, I lost it to their reaction.
But yeah, Tomlin, we didn't cry till later.
Yeah, it was such a surreal moment, though. Because you work your whole life for that moment, right? So, and especially being a specialist, those aren't just around. So to earn that was truly one of the highlights I had here at Maryland.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool that what Maryland's been doing with that the last couple of years. I mean, of course, it's an amazing experience for you individually and your family, however it happens across the nation. But to see the Ravens announcements, to see Kevin Durant via video giving Greg Rose his scholarship in the team room.
That
one
was
room.
Really, that one
like,
was cool.
Like,
that
one yeah, was they cool. just find another niche to make it an even more memorable experience for not only the person that's getting it, but the rest of the team celebrating
without a doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt.
There's a lot of good things going on in Maryland, you know. I don't know if we're all the way there yet, but we're headed in the right direction.
Well, you know what Locke says, the best is ahead. So
the best is ahead.
You take every day one day at a time and hope that tomorrow is better than today.
So since you're here, I want to take one quick little shot at the Terps. Something that bothered me, that was a very small thing. So I just went to the spring game. You know, okay. We had the little signings afterwards, all that good stuff. Whoever was in charge of printing and setting up the nameplates for signatures put every person that had left out there. So we had I got pictures of little Pecorello tombstones, little Colton Deary tombstones. So we were just sitting there waiting for you to show up, man. I don't know why you weren't at your name tag.
The amount of people that sent me a picture of it, like it was a tombstone, it was hysterical.
So you knew that this happened.
Yeah, I knew. And it was probably someone who worked for Maryland Athletics and not football.
Yeah.
I'd only announced not too long before that, so it probably just was a miscommunication thing. Some kid sent me a picture on Instagram, like a DM, and was like, oh, are you still here? And I was like, but he didn't send the picture. I was like, oh, no. Like I've decided to enter my name in the portal. And he goes, well, your name tag's here. I go, my what?
It was not just you, man. It was like 7 or 8 of you.
That's funny. That's funny.
Yeah, it's being one of the people in the know there, I was just looking around going, before they'd ever sat down, like, well, that's weird. I don't think they're going to be here today.
That's funny.
What game will you always remember as a Terp?
Well, the bowl games are the easy answer, but
that is the easy answer, especially for a New York kid.
I'll have to say 2020 when we went up to Happy Valley and took a big fat, no, I can't say that word. I was going to say we took
sure
a dump
can.
On their field. No, we, we went up to Penn State and we did something really special. That was kind of Rakim Jarrett's breakout game. It was kind of one of those games where everything, Jake Funk had a big game, defense played well. It was just one of those games that was just like everything, nothing could go wrong. And I put two punts at the 1 yard line. I was feeling myself a little bit. Just like everything across the board went perfect, like to plan. And coming out of high school, I've grown up, all I knew was Rutgers and Penn State. So those were the two schools I was like really trying to go to. And I went to a camp and I came, I think, in first or second in punting and first and second field goals. I had a really good day. And the special teams coordinator was like, oh, well, Coach Franklin isn't really looking to take somebody today. Like, sorry. And I thought that if I had a good day, I'd get an offer or something. And he was just like, oh, you can come and walk on in August, but like, we're not taking anybody today. So I took it a little personally. I mean, I understand how the numbers and everything work. And sometimes they just can't choose a guy, but kind of just held it a little personal, took it a little personal. Then my freshman year, when they came and played here, and we all know how that went. And so kind of like that game.
The tailgate was great, man. I'm sorry you missed it. You guys should have came down and tailgated with us. You might have been looser.
I don't know. It was one of those things like God doesn't make mistakes, right? So it was almost like he had to make us wait one more year before we could get that moment. But definitely Penn State 2020, because that bus ride home after the game was like some of the memories I'll never forget.
That's awesome, man. It's awesome. Who do you think you'll always keep in touch with? What was your core group of Terps that won the team?
My core group. So the funny thing is a lot of my core group is gone. So like Sebastian Alonzo's at Georgetown, Nick DeGennaro's at Richmond, Dino Tomlin's at Boston College, Devin King's at Hawaii. And then here you have Bo Braid and you have Ruben Hippolyte. So those are kind of the guys I've always like been around and hung out with. Dante Trader is also here too. And so we all keep in touch, and those were kind of the core guys that I came up with. And we actually, me, Nick, Dino, and Sebastian all lived together a year ago. And then when they all transferred, I was living by myself.
Oh, no.
So it was definitely something like those are the guys I'll definitely keep in touch with. And obviously the guys in the specialist room, like Jack and Harry, Sokovia, Fogia. And obviously, I mean, Cole and I were pinned against each other from day one. And they tried everyone from the media to coaches, just even like some players, just trying to pin us against each other any way they could. And even it was just in gossip, we had this little mini basketball hoop, and people would turn it into this like, oh, punter versus punter competition. So, but Cole and I will always be closest because like we went through everything together. Like from day one, like you were like, it was the righty lefty. Hell, we even wore the same number for a game. They tried to disguise us like we were incognito and didn't look, we looked exactly the same, whatever. I don't know what that whole thing about. But yeah, those are definitely the guys that like that core that I'll definitely keep in touch with. But every guy in that locker room, I walked in, I didn't know who they were. And I'm leaving that they're all my brothers, and they all know that I'm just one phone call away, and I wish them all the best.
That's awesome. They never pulled out the secret weapon we talked about, the Anthony Pecorella quarterback play. Were you out there protesting, Coach?
I pleaded every Thursday, can we run it? Because every Thursday you pretty much do like a run through of everything if possibly that would happen in a game. And we had it, and it worked. So every time we ran it, I said, like, maybe this is the weekend, maybe this is the weekend. And the funny thing is we actually called it once my freshman year against Michigan, ABC. They got that, what do they call that camera? The high camera, like just as college football as it can get.
Uh-huh.
And we called the fake, and there was only once. It's kind of like the Pat McAfee. I'm sure you've seen Pat McAfee. He talks about against the Steelers, they're going on a fake. And then only in one scenario do you call it off. So I had the same exact scenario. It's 4th and 7, punting. And we're in this spread formation, all spread out. And there's only one situation. If the guy lined up, because it was supposed to be like a dump pass to the long snapper kind, they just got to like try to catch him sleeping. And only one time would you check out of is if someone ID'd the long snapper. So every time we ran in practice, worked well because they just couldn't identify it. And it was all oiled up, ready to go. So John Papuchas, the special teams corner at the time, called it. And I'm going out there. Now, this is late in the year, so I wasn't too, like, I guess, not nervous, but just more so, like, it's like, oh, shit, now I'm not, like, this is the first time I ever stepped on a field where I'm not, like, I'm not punting here. So, I'm, like,
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Going through my progression, doing everything, and everything was good to go. And I was about to tell the up back, like, let's do it. And then I don't think it was Chase Winovich. It might have been, like, it looks just like he played for the Patriots. And he, this long blonde-haired guy, walks up and goes, "Snappers on the – what did he say? Just that the snappers on the – oh, snappers on the ball, snappers eligible, snappers eligible." And I was like, oh, shit. And I was screaming, check out of it, check out of it, check out of it. And
we so is this one of those, like, crazy shift plays? That's how the center got eligible, is everybody was on one side?
Yeah, because if you put everyone on one side, he's the last man line of scrimmage, he's eligible.
Gotcha. So I was sitting here thinking, how the heck are you allowed to pass to the center? But now I get you shift all out of it.
The funny thing is I ran it in high school too. So I knew it was gonna work, but just the one scenario where he ID'd him, so we check out of it. It comes because I'm a freshman, right? I'm not even gonna like play with it as far as like, maybe
he'll never play again.
I can go get it. So I came to the sideline and they were all saying, like, oh, wait to check out it. But I was just annoyed. Because I wanted to run it, but then after that, never really got another chance to run it.
Yeah. Well, to live another day. You said your favorite game was in 2020. You were playing against in front of this guy, playing in front of cardboard cutouts. How did it change from going from in front of cardboard cutouts to the stadiums packed through the Big Ten? What was that change in mindset from the silence to all of that?
So my freshman year was surreal because in high school, the most I ever played in front of was, I want to say, 2,500, 3,000 people. I went at most. And so when I first got to college, it was a little bit of an adjustment, especially because we played Ohio State and there was 103,000 people there. So then you go from that to that. And then 2020, it's your parents, your siblings, and then these cutouts. So you kind of have to remember.
These aren't intimidating, man. These aren't what you expected to play.
You kind of had to, I guess, fall in love with the game again for what it is. Not all the extraterrestrial stuff that comes with it. More so, just that you're playing the game of football. Like it was just like a playing in the backyard with your friends. Like that's really what you were playing for the guy next to you. You weren't playing for anybody else in the stands other than your parents. But it was more so. It wasn't so much as a show. It was more just like you going to war with your brother and that kind of thing. But the funny thing was when we went to Penn State, they had these speakers and they were pumping in crowd noise, just obnoxious speakers. It was just so funny. But yeah, it was definitely – but the coolest thing was we played West Virginia that first game in 21. Place was packed and it was just like – that was kind of like – I guess not because they just announced a week ago that the COVID is no longer a pandemic, but that was kind of like the people's coming out of realization moment, like, all right, like we're getting back to normal now. And it was nice that we won too, but.
Oh, it certainly changed my life. I was very stressed and like done with living the pandemic life. I'm like, just give me like,
give me something.
Football back. Give me like, I think like outdoor restaurants had like just started too. Like there was only carry out before that.
Slowly getting back.
I was like, all right, I can deal with this for a while. I was done dealing with the full shut in, especially because as a nurse, like I never had the level of safety that it was giving some people. I still had to go do all the same things that were risking me and my family, but I had no enjoyment outside of the workplace to go to. So. I will forever remember that West Virginia tailgate, the game, everything about that day was certainly the light at the end of the tunnel for this family, at least.
It was a great game too.
It was a great game, right down to the end, a tight game.
Yeah.
I guess I want to ask you one other thing that's changed recently. They brought back the forbidden chant. Hey, you suck. How do you feel about it? Is it really light you guys up like it lights the crowd up, or is it just the fact that the crowd's into it then afterwards? What's it do?
So I'm probably an unpopular opinion guy when I say
you're not a fan.
I'm not a fan of it. Not so like I love that the crowd gets into it and that's all great, but just like at some points it seemed like we were playing it at the wrong time.
Oh, you're right about that. I've complained about it.
I remember when we played Ohio State, I don't know if we might have been down two. We were down two. It was a third down, and we're playing the chant. What are you doing? And that's fine. If that's how we want to portray ourselves, that's fine. That's way above both our pay grades, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's cool that the fans get into it. I hope that they can come up with some more chants because you see other schools around the country, they all have like millions of chants for different
times. They all
times,
learn how to spell really well.
You suck.
I don't know. I'm a huge
fan
of it.
It's cool. I think there's moments where it's cool. Like if we go up by 20 or something.
If it's played at the right point.
Yeah, but I think it, like in a certain game, I'd say the marketing team just needs a little better reading of the situation kind of thing. But that goes the same for some of the music they play at times.
Oh, 100%. That was the only problem with the West Virginia game, actually, now that you say it. All of a sudden, I was at a country fair. We're in PG County, and we're playing nothing but country music for the West Virginia game.
We're on offense playing Mo Bamba, trying to get the whole crowd to go nuts, but we're on offense. Everyone's supposed to be quiet.
That's true, too. Yep. Yeah, it's definitely – there's a disconnect somewhere there.
I will say at basketball games, I definitely, as a fan, take part in those chants.
Yeah. But even those, like – so about halfway through this season, they fixed it. And I'm sure others were complaining. We certainly were vocally complaining on the show that there are points where you could light a building on fire. When you have a dunk and the other team calls timeout, like that's when it's appropriate. Or like you're playing Ohio State. You don't have to be up 20. But if you take a lead versus Ohio State in the first quarter even, you drop and try to like make them have doubt. You know, like, so those are the
times.
Would
you go to the Purdue basketball game?
100%. I was at the Purdue basketball game. We were sitting up at the Bud Light deck. Those tables they put above the basket on the one end. That was a pretty cool experience because we got to see the whole lower bowl, but still have some pretty good seats and see the court rush and everything.
Yeah,
it was the first court/field rush I didn't do, so now I'm an old man officially.
It was a Thursday night. It was me, Chad Ryland, and Nick Cross. And we sat behind the DJ booth.
Gotcha.
And the whole game, we were just kind of going just because, like, it was just a good game. It was a Thursday night, and students get free tickets. So we go to the game, and it's one of those things, like, Maryland always has those moments when they're playing, like, they always play to their competition, right? So you're just kind of like, all right, like when's this game going to turn around? When is Purdue going to take over? It just never really happened. And you're trying not to get overexcited, but you're like, I don't know. This might be the one. And then it got inside 2 minutes or 3 minutes, whatever it was. Dante Scott hit some like fadeaway three. He was banked in or some like crazy stupid shot. And at that, like Chad and I looked at each other. I was like, this is going to happen. Like, this court story is going to happen. So we didn't know if we were going to take part in it because, like, Nick
didn't want to get suspended or something.
It's like, I don't know. So like you're waiting for other people to kind of like, you don't want to be the only three guys that run down. But they start the students. So we were sitting here, and the student section's up here, and they started already filing down
into the hallways.
Yeah,
I was confused
like, right.
at first.
I'm
like Fred, where's everyone going? They're leaving. Don't leave right now.
Yeah. I was like, all right, so this is really going to happen. So we got down, and it was just chaos. People getting run over. People getting just to run on this to be part of history. It was crazy. Yep. This cop fell in front of the three of us, and we were all trying to hold these people back so the cop could stand up. And he said, thank you. Then we walked by, and then he fell over again. So it was just a disaster. But it was was definitely like a – top five non-football moment I had at Maryland.
100%. And you never got a field rush during your time here with the Terps for football.
Well, apparently they wanted to do one for West Virginia, but the security guard said that they're not allowed or something. I don't know. But okay. That'd have been fun. I mean, the only time I'd think that we beat a ranked team at home was my freshman year, 2019. We beat Syracuse. We won 63-20.
Yeah, you can't field rush when you're up 85 points at the end of the game.
And that was the last time we were ranked. Because then we went to Temple, and then the wheels came off the bus after that game. But yeah, it was definitely a surreal moment.
Yeah, I miss those days, and I think they're coming back. I've been part of three field rushes with the Terps, Miami, Virginia Tech, and not Virginia Tech, FSU. Maybe FSU twice? I don't know. Oh, Boston College. Boston College is the one that I ended up on, like,
I hope you get one this year.
Yeah, let's go. Why not? We got a couple big wigs coming into town, right?
You got Michigan in the shell.
We were at the Michigan game this year, man. I was so ready to watch that win. You guys won almost every minute of that game. Erased the first 60 seconds, and you won that game. I killed Beck.
What'd you say?
Oh, I'm sorry. Your head froze.
So did yours. That's funny.
So, okay. What? Where did it cut out? So I can.
You were talking about the Michigan game. We were winning. You said if you can cut out the first 60 seconds.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know.
Well, the great thing is that's how you know. That's how you know how far this program has come, because 2019. If that happened in a game in 2019, we would have self-destructed, and that'd have been it. But the fact that we rallied. We kept it a game. We were in the game. There was two interceptions that I don't want to talk about that weren't really interceptions, but we won't get into that because this is a family-friendly podcast.
There were two fourth and twos that were just not covered at all.
But something, I mean, it's the flow of the game, but that was definitely one of those games that, like, the country kind of woke up and said, all right, like, Maryland's, like, and then we were up against Ohio State at halftime, and the country, everyone was kind of like, So they're climbing. Yeah. I hope Loxley's got them all going in the right direction. So I'm excited. I mean, I'm always, you said, right before we got on, you said, you're once a Terp, always a Terp. So I'm always forever going to be a fan of them and keep an eye on them. But
yeah, I mean, we turn blowouts into close games. Just take one more step and get some W's against these big
Hopefully
boys,
you get to go to Pasadena here soon.
Yeah. All right, man. What else you need to cover here on the show?
I just want to give a shout-out to Terp Nation as a whole, just for taking me in as a 17-year-old from Long Island, not knowing what, I guess, College Park or Maryland was all about. Didn't know what Old Bay seasoning was till I got here. The only athlete I really knew from here was Boomer Esiason and Mello Trimble. So I just want to say thank you for these last 4 years and for making my family and I feel welcome and in a place we had never been before. And we wish you all the best of luck. And like you said, once a Terp, always a Terp.
Yeah, man. Well, Terp Nation was a thank you too. I can't say, you know, anybody wanted to see you play ever, as we talked last time. Nobody wants to see the punter. But, man, you were hands down the most entertaining punter that I think Maryland's ever had. And, hey, we got punters that punch people in the face in practice in our history. So you got some competition. You got some competition on your hands.
That's
so, yeah, I mean, it's been a pleasure having you. And wherever your academic and football career takes you, you know, you'll always have fans here at Shell and Tell.
Appreciate that.
Great as always to talk to Anthony Pecorella. What a great spirit, my man. He's just this calming presence, but he is a presence. He brings that Long Island attitude. He's not afraid to talk to anybody. Enjoys speaking to everyone he meets. He's never met a stranger. It's been really fun to meet guys like him and other Terps that have been willing to engage with Shell and Tell on and off of the show, get to know the insides and outs. really take her my fanhood to the next level. And then as my girls are getting older, they've been to a couple spring games, but this was the first year. As you saw, they got their signatures done. I used a very cool handout from a couple season tickets ago. They gave us this cool drawing. We got that signed up. I'm probably going to frame this one. I'll let them keep the poster. But it's really fun, not only for me to bring my fanhood to the next level, but to keep them engaged and interested in Maryland sports as long as possible. I got twin six-year-old girls. I might only have 4 years left till they are done enjoying Maryland football, or maybe they'll be lifelong fans. Who knows? I'm going to do my best. You do your best to bring around the next generation of Terps fans and bring the next generation of Shell and Tell fans. Please share the show. Subscribe. Follow, like, share, all the things you can do. Make sure that you are getting into the Inside Black and Gold for the inside information that Ahmed don't even want to tell me on the show. So why is he going to tell you? So go in there, read all the good stuff. He's always got the early drop on all the football news, most of the basketball news. My man does the best job out there for Maryland sports. I don't care what anybody says. Until next time, guys, here's to wishing all is well under the shell.